La la, yeah. La la, wait till I get my money right. Oh. I had a dream I could buy my way to heaven. When I awoke, I spent that on a necklace. Oh. I told God I'll be back in a second. Man, it's so hard not to act reckless. To whom much is given, much is tested. Get arrested, guess until he get the message. I feel the pressure under more scrutiny. And what I do, act more stupidly. Bought more jewelry, more Louis V. My mama couldn't get through to me.
Welcome to another episode of the Zygos Soccer Report. I'm Brian Zygo, your host, of course, coming to you from Houston, Texas. Well, May is almost finished. Pretty much all the big leagues in Europe are finished. The only thing really left is a Champions League final next weekend. Here in Houston, Dynamo just hosted New York Red Bull, or Red Bull New York, as I think they're really named. That ended in a 2-2 draw. No Thierry Henry for Red Bull. He had a knee injury, didn't even travel with the team in the long run. Kind of a interesting match for the Dynamo. They actually gave up the first goal. Not really good. That first goal came in the first minute. Dane Richards with an assist to Luke Rogers. That's one of the concerns with the Dynamo of late. It's those early goals that they get caught in those certain times of just not focused, not paying attention, lack of attention. And they kind of get caught sleeping, and that's what happened with Dane Richards picking up a goal there in the first minute. Thankfully, the Dynamo were able to respond. Their first penalty kick of the season came in the 12th minute with Brad Davis. That's the way it stood going into halftime, 1-1 draw at halftime. Now, late in the game, Sergio Coque finally got his first goal with the Dynamo in MLS. That was in the 82nd minute. Sorry. Looked like the Dynamo were going to wrap that thing up. Only a few minutes left, and once again, their concentration fails them. And about the 91st minute, Mehdi Belouchi scores a goal. And it ended up a 2-2 draw. Most horrible thing in the world? Most horrible result in the world for the Dynamo? No. Some good things. It was a pretty much even match most of the night. There were certain times when New York seemed to have the advantage, certain times when the Dynamo seemed to have the advantage. Not that crazy of a match in the long run. Does it hurt them to drop the 2 points? Yes, but it seems like as much as they were disappointed not getting the win, there was a sense like, hey, this is one of the best teams in the East. We held them to a draw. Yeah, we would have liked the win, but losing would have been worse, especially considering the way the Dynamo have lost several games at home, games you don't want to lose. That's the way they started the season, losing to the Philadelphia Union. Philadelphia Union, who are now top of the East. New York is in second place in the East. Philadelphia Union's got 17 points, New York's got 16 points, and the Dynamo have 14 points. A win for the Dynamo last night would have kind of leaped them past New York, though they wouldn't have held on to first place because of the Union win. So, I don't know. It's May. Dynamo, you know, I get a sense from some people that they feel like the Dynamo haven't done that great, but they actually haven't done that bad either. You know, yeah, there's only 3 wins. They got 5 draws. We'd like to see a few more wins in there, but they've only got 3 losses. Yeah, picking up points here and there seems to work. Dynamo Coach Kinnear, as you'll listen to, wasn't that upset. Yeah, he would have liked the win, but, yeah, such is what it was. It was good to see Koke get his first goal of the season. I know Dynamo fans have been waiting for that. Koke, who's from Spain, came here on a free transfer from the Greek club Aris. And on my website, zygosoccerreport.com, I'll have, along with this, if you're listening to this on iTunes, go to my website because I'll have the goal, Koke's goal, embedded there. Kind of a busy schedule for the Dynamo. They just came off playing Real Salt Lake. And actually, that was a very good game for them, too. They held Real Salt Lake to a 0-0 draw. Before that, though, they lost to Toronto up in Toronto. Next for them, they head out to Los Angeles. This is going to be a tough game. Los Angeles actually has 23 points on the season already. They just beat Chivas this weekend. That's a Wednesday night match. If you live in Houston, it'll be on 11.2 as well as Fox Sports Houston, where you can listen on Sports Talk 790 or La Ranchera 850, both AM stations. Then, Saturday, they host Dallas. It's the first leg of the 2011 Texas Derby. It's going to be at Robertson Stadium, of course, 7:30 p.m. start time. Those are some big games. They're all in a row. Chatting with Jordan Wise earlier, and Jordan's the one who got me this audio that you'll be hearing, so big shout out to him and folks at SB Nation Dynamo Theory. You can check out their stuff, SBNation.com and DynamoTheory.com. He kind of got, he's telling me it really does seem like that if they can pull 4 points from these matches, they'll be happy with it. It's a little rough part, and if they can make it through and just get a bunch of draws, that's fine. They'll move on into the heart of the summer, into the June and July schedules of the season, as we kind of get right in the middle of it. And that's when you start to see teams kind of lose a little of their momentum. That's when they start hitting some problems. That's when you start seeing the injuries have a bigger effect. That's when you see the weather start having an effect. So we'll have to kind of watch that closely. But first, why don't we listen to Andrew Hainault kind of talk about the problems the Dynamo have had last night, Saturday night, with concentration and giving up the goals.
To give up late like that, you know, I thought we learned our lesson enough last year, giving up late goals. So very, very frustrating right now. But look at the other end, we can't give up early goals either. So we can't sit there and pinpoint who was marking who on the last play. We got to look at the first goal too. So very frustrated right now. You know, we definitely need to learn from this. You can't give up late, and you can't give up late on set pieces. So you know, if you're afraid about it, because we got a game coming real soon against LA. So that's it. You know, you got to put it past you, learn from it, and forget about it.
Obviously, must be different.
Really, the only two players to really talk to the press, other than Koke, were Tally Hall and Andre Hainault, or Andrew Hainault, however you want to say his first name. You could kind of tell from that the players in general were not pleased that they had a win going into stoppage time and that they gave it up. Dynamo fans take that as a good sign. You know, that the team's angry with themselves, something that they're going to learn from and hopefully bounce back from. You can see what they do against Los Angeles on Wednesday, of course. Yeah, one of the good things for the Dynamo at the moment is, you know, Jeff Cameron seems to be in good shape. He got that knock a few weeks back where his shin kind of got banged up good, but he's bounced back from that. That was against DC United, if I'm remembering correctly, yeah. And he was out a bit, and that was a problem. He's been doing a great job working there in the midfield. Which has been a good thing with the Dynamo of late, is when Jeff's out there and Brad Davis and Lavelle Palmer, that they seem to get a good tight-knit group in that midfield, which makes it a little more difficult for other teams. You know, as even though the Dynamo have lost three games, all in all the goals they've given up have been pretty low. They really haven't given up more than two goals in a match. And usually when they do give up two goals, they don't win it. So, you know, the defense isn't always the best. They have some concentration issues. They give up some bad goals from time to time. But like I said before, it could be a lot worse. It's kind of middle of the road right now, except they're, you know, in third place in the East, so you can't complain too much at Dynamo fans. Let's listen a bit to Tally Hall, the goalkeeper, talk about the match, and then we'll hear Andre Hainault talk about the positives that he took from this match against New York. Have a little break, and then you'll get Dominic Kinnear in all his glory, unedited press conference following the 2-2 draw against New York Red Bull. Also, just a quick shout out before we go to that to all the fans that showed up. Over 25,000 showed up. It was the 10th largest attendance for the Houston Dynamo. So big props to the fans, and I'm sure they'll get a good crowd out there on Saturday for the Dallas game. We'll talk a little bit more about that here.
I mean, they got a lot of good players. Even guys on the bench are good players. Obviously, Mehdi comes off the bench and scores, and we've seen him play in this league as a starter. So, I mean, they got a good group of guys, but, you know, it comes down to, you know, I think we can put it on ourselves, and I think we can do better managing the game in the end, keeping the ball a little bit better, and then obviously, you know, fighting harder than they fight to win all set-piece battles. It's unfortunate, but, you know, came out here with a draw, as bad as it feels, and we've got to look already to Wednesday.
Well, definitely, you know, New York are one of the top teams in the league. You know, when they came here, and I think we had, we had better the game. You know, we definitely had our chances in the second half. You know, we deserve to get that second goal, and maybe with a bit more patience and, you know, and savvy, whatever you want to call it. Maybe we get another one, maybe we frustrate them a bit more, keep the ball a bit more, make them run a bit more, whatever it is. So we definitely need to learn from that. You know, and like I said, late goals can't happen.
You're saying, yeah, right now, but not that often. Are you dead? Are you sleeping? Are you dead? Are you sleeping? Are you dead? Are you sleeping? God, I sure hope you are dead.
All right, Dom, thoughts on the game?
Yeah, disappointing to lose a lead at the end there, but overall, I think that both teams gave the fans a lot to be happy about as far as soccer goes. There was good chances on both ends. There was good play on both ends. You know, we're a little bit sour with losing the lead so late after working so hard to get the lead after going down such an early goal. But, you know, told the guys in there, yeah, be disappointed, you know, especially the way we've lost it. But overall, I thought it was one of the better games we played this year, especially on the ball.
Questions? Dom, giving up a goal.
The first minute, or the
first
minute. The first minute is seems like 2 weeks ago. The 90th minute, we have everyone marked up. It's just a point of not being aggressive enough.
Are you concerned about feeling that a lot of chances are being left unfinished by the offense?
That happens with every team around the world, you know, except for some teams, but. I'd be more concerned if we weren't creating chances. I think the last time we played these guys, you know, we had maybe one or two shots on goal. So, obviously, it's a different setting. But I think the way we played, all three forwards, I think, were a menace to their back four. We're dangerous on set pieces. So, you know, we scored two goals. I think if we were in here with 2-1, we wouldn't talk about chances. I think at times we could have held on to the ball a little bit better in the final third, which we've been kind of stressing a lot in the last little while. But overall, like I told the guys, I really think we played well. I'm not trying to snow you. I really think we played well tonight. I think we put them under pressure. We were just one defensive corner kick away from having a real good atmosphere in the locker room.
Can you talk about Kovic's first goal of the season?
Yeah, he just put himself in the right place. Jeff wins the header. He's alert to the rebound, you know. So we've found his range as far as shooting goes, 2 yards out. He seems to be pretty deadly. So, no, happy for him to get a goal. And, you know, like I said, we always try and put someone in front of the goalkeeper for a reason. And after Jeff heads it, he kind of ducks out of the way. It makes it difficult for their goalkeeper, and he's pretty sharp to respond, so very happy for him.
How do you rate Brad Davis's performance, as he was a real integral part to much of your creativity?
Yeah, I think not just to point out him, but I thought all the guys going forward played pretty good. You know, I think the outside backs getting forward is always a plus for us. The two forwards battle very hard, and then Koki comes on, battles very hard to get some chances. And Brad and Jeff in the midfield, I think, combined pretty well. So, I mean, Brad's always involved because of corner kick set pieces, and also for the runner play, he's a very good player. So, like I said, I don't want to point out him. I think everyone going forward, you know, was very positive.
Talk a bit about also Javon Watson's performance tonight, as well as Koke. Both seem to be able to refresh the attack.
Yeah, I think that happened against Salt Lake as well. When those guys come in, you know, the team gets a little bit on the ball. You know, we hold the ball a little bit better. So Javon came in, made some good plays for us, and so did Koke. So, I mean, we're not just giving guys minutes. You know, obviously we want these guys to play and for the game to continue the way it is or to get a little bit better. And I think those guys, when they step on the field, have improved the play at times.
John, with a quick turnaround, going to L.A. Wednesday, a tough game attack. How's the mentality of the team?
I think it should be good. I mean, there's a lot of positive take away from that game. You know, we got scored on in the first 40 seconds. So, and there's a lot of time to play, but you could easily bury your head, you know, but we didn't. And I think we equalized well. Will makes a good run, gets Bross down, and to score late. Like I said, I just, you know, it's not a missed assignment. It's just a lack of awareness and lack of aggression in a very important area that we always stress, and it just was we let our guard down, and they were more than happy to take advantage of that. But as far as going forward to L.A., I think we all knew that this part of the season, you know, this stretch, we talked about the four games, you know, four difficult games for a variety of reasons. First and foremost, they're all good teams, you know. So two away, two at home. We'll see how the guys feel. You know, it's going to be hard to ask these guys to play 90-90-90. So I think you saw we, you know, were subbing a little bit earlier than normal, looking with an eye on Wednesday. And so, you know, I don't think you'll see the same starting 11 every single game this week.
Been a part of the game where you give up the goal in the first minute and then you give up the goal in the second half?
Have I been involved in the game before tonight?
As a coach or a player, yeah.
To be honest, I couldn't tell you. You know, like I said before, the first minute seems about two weeks ago, you know. So, but yeah, it was a pretty sloppy start by us. You know, Kidd's has a good hit. And then after that, I think we were very positive going forward and creating some chances. And to give up, you know, it's kind of like we got bookended, you know, but one's a good goal and you can kind of, you know, say, okay, it's run of play. The second goal is the one where you know 100% for sure that you can't give up a free header in the 91st, 92nd minute. It's really, it's shame on us. And you look back and you go, that's 2 points that is away from one lack of concentration. But all in all, I will say, I think we're playing well right now. I really do. I'm not trying to make the sun shine when sometimes the clouds are dark. I'm being realistic. I told the guys this. I said, yeah, be disappointed. I'm disappointed with you because we let it up late. Would it be different if we scored with 2 minutes to go to tie it up? I think the atmosphere would be a little bit different, you know. But all in all, I really enjoy what I'm seeing from this team. If we simplify our game at times, we'd be a much more potent team going forward. But the effort's there, the determination's there, and I think the ability to play for each other is very high in us right now.
Thank you so much, guys.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dominic.
It was 100 degrees as we sat beneath a willow tree whose tears didn't care. They just hung in the air and refused to fall. It's a fall.
All right, so that was Dom talking a bit about the match. As you can tell, he wasn't all that upset, all things considered, considering they gave up the win that way. Definitely have heard and seen Dom a lot more angry after a match, in particular that one against the Red Bull in the playoffs a couple of years ago when the Dynamo lost that. He was quite upset following that. So slightly different Dominic Kinnear in that press conference. So again, yeah, Dynamo play Los Angeles on Wednesday and then Dallas on Saturday. They play a couple Western Conference teams. Wins would be nice, but since they're Western Conference teams, I don't think the team's going to be all that upset if they get some draws and just pick up a couple points. I'm sure they want to win against Dallas at home, always want to win at home. The LA one, I think they'll be quite content with a draw on that one. So it was actually a big weekend in football because this was, like I indicated earlier, the end of the club seasons in Europe, the 2010-2011 club seasons. And in my past few podcasts, I've really focused on the Dynamo. I haven't really talked much about Serie A, though that many of you know is my preferred league, the one I follow the most closely in Europe and pay the most attention to. Well, it was the end of the season there, and well, we all know AC Milan, won the Scudetto. They finished the year with 82 points. Inter, Napoli, and Udinese all made the Champions League cut along with Milan. Going to the Europa League is going to be Lazio and Roma. Roma managed to pick up a 3-1 win against Sampdoria in Rome today, and that secured them the spot in the Europa League above Juventus. Juventus is not going to Europe at all this year or this coming season. They've sacked Del Neri. Sounds like they're going to hire Conte, and we'll see what other kind of changes happen at Juventus. I don't know how much this is going to affect things. They've had some good teams of late, and they just can't seem to really regain their old form, their old dominance within Serie A. Let's face it, though, I think there's a lot of institutional issues lingering from the Calciopoli in 2006, and that's kind of affected the way the team runs. I think it's a cultural thing within the team, and they might need a big shakeup in their front office in order to find their old winning form, find their old European form again. So it'll be interesting to watch what changes Juventus makes over this summer. Roma is another big team to watch over this summer. In all disclosure, if you haven't heard me before, then Roma is my preferred team, my club. That's the one I root for. Hey, in the world of sports journalism, we're allowed to root for a team. I try not to be a complete homer, though, so. But that being said, it is going to be an interesting off season for them, an interesting silly season. It looks like this new ownership group, led by American, hopefully I'll say his name right, Thomas DiPanetto. That was a good stab at it. Don't even have it written in front of me, so I'm just going off memory. Is looking to make some noise, make a splash in the transfer market. Well, job one is probably going to be deciding who the coach is. Carlo Ancelotti has been fired by Chelsea, and for a long time that's who everyone assumed Roma was looking at as far as the next coach goes. So the other big thing is with the team now being owned, yeah, there's still a few hoops I got to jump through as far as approval and all that, but for now I'm just going on the assumption this is all going to work out, and the ownership change will take place officially. There's talk of trying to get a big name American to mainly from let's admit mainly for marketing purposes, trying to get more attention in the United States. Now, with an American owner, selling gear is really a good way to make money. So looking at Landon Donovan and Michael Bradley, another name, I haven't really heard connected with him, but let's be honest, he's probably going to be available, is Clint Dempsey. We'll see if him and Fulham continue or if he moves on. That's something that'll be watching this summer. And if he's available, don't be surprised if Roma tries to make a play for him too in an effort to get that big name American and get that attention. When the news about Roma's interest in Donovan and Bradley came out, I did a posting on my website, and let's just say it was kind of it was humorous, because that day it started to get picked up a few places, and the one site I used to do stuff with, MajorLeagueSoccerTalk.com, they had a comment about it too, and I don't know. I mean, first, thank you, Seattle, for finally moving away from that stupid green carpet concrete crap you have at Quest Field, and you're going to have some real grass there next year. That's great, but some of your fans really need to learn how the business of sports works around the world. Yes, Sounders' average attendance is larger than a lot of teams, even in Europe, Roma included, as far as average attendance goes, though the derbies there are packed. Part of that's also because certain sections of seats are just not sold. And let's face it, there's as much as we... One of the problems we have here in the U.S. when we talk about MLS attendance is we make the problem of comparing it to the cosmos of an ASL, which was an anomaly, or NFL. And we don't really pay attention to the fact that 15,000 is really a good attendance number when it comes to the sport, even when you compare it to leagues elsewhere in the world, save and except some of those bigger clubs out there like Real Madrid, Barcelona, Manchester United, etc. Attendance isn't the only thing that drives the way the money works in the world of club football, folks. So, I mean, just look at the NFL. In all reality, the NFL would do just fine if they played their games without anybody in the seats to watch them live. TV is the biggest place for money, and then, of course, marketing products is another huge place. So yeah. With the new ownership group coming in, one of the things about Roma is the club itself didn't really have the debt. It was a Sensi family that had the debt, and it just limited what they could do with the club. So once they are moved out of the picture, that way Roma will have the money to splash around. And, yeah, Donovan's going to be overpriced, but, yeah, we'll see what happens. Anyway, enough rambling on about Roma. As far as who's getting relegated in Italy, it's Sampdoria, Brescia, and Bari. They are all headed down to Serie B. Speaking of Serie B, we know a couple old faces are going to be promoted. Atalanta and Siena. Those are teams that, let's face it, we're familiar with if you pay attention to Serie A. The third promotion spot, we're looking at Novara, Varese, and Regina, as they're going to be battling in the playoffs. I guess Padova might have a chance of getting back into that mix, but we'll see what happens. There's still another regular match week left in Serie B, and then the promotion playoff. So it'll definitely be good to have Atalanta back. The fans in Bergamo are very good fans, and definitely missed them this season. Siena, another good side that'll be that it was much missed this season. It'll be good to have them back up in Serie B. Hopefully Sampdoria's stint in Serie B won't last too long. Of course, in England, we'll just kind of touch on that real quick. Most people already know it's all done there too. And yes, Manchester United has won the title for the 19th time. Chelsea finished in second place, and they were a good 9 points behind Manchester United. Chelsea, of course, as I mentioned earlier, sacked their coach Carlo Ancelotti. Manchester City broke into the top four. They finished in third place with Arsenal at fourth place. Tottenham and Liverpool just below them. Everton did pretty well for itself, finishing up there in seventh place. And Fulham in eighth place. Clint Dempsey's Fulham. The other team of note for American fans, Bolton, they yeah, because of Stuart Holden. They finished lower middle table, maybe a little too close to the relegation zone for some people's taste, but they survive and will stay in the EPL next year. Birmingham, Blackpool, and West Ham are all getting relegated in England. So, really, that's it for the club season in Europe. All we got left is Barcelona, Manchester United on Saturday. That'll be on regular Fox Network. Not so even if you don't have cable, if you have a local Fox Network, you'll be able to watch it. So that's a good thing to see it move on. That's one of the pluses of Fox getting the Champions League rights. There's some negatives because Fox Soccer Channel isn't usually included in a lot of packages, and some people have to pay a little extra to get. But be guaranteed that ESPN is going to be looking to get Champions League back. Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up now. Mixed weekend for me. Unfortunate for the Dynamo Resort. Result. Would have liked to have seen them win that one and at least be in second place in the Eastern Conference in MLS. Was happy with Roma's win. Curious to see what happens to this team during the off season. We'll kind of take some time over the summer. And, yeah, of course, the big focus will be MLS. But we'll pay attention to what big news comes out of Europe as far as the transfer markets go. And there'll be a few little qualifiers for Euro 2012. We'll have to see what happens with those. Really aren't the most exciting things in the world. And, of course, Gold Cup returns to the United States. The, let's face it, the CONCACAF version of the Euros. Semifinals will be here in Houston. So we'll take a look at all that over the course of this summer. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, criticisms, whatever, you can email me at brian.zygo@gmail.com. Of course, there is my website, zygosoccerreport.com. You can check that out. And, well, we'll see what happens. All I'll say is we'll see what happens with the Orange Slice on 1560 The Game. Nothing official yet. I just know there's a lot of changes going on at the station as a new program director has taken the reins of running the programming, and we'll see what happens there, and I'll keep you updated on that. And of course, I'm on Twitter, BZYGO. Anyway, hope you can, if you live in Houston, hopefully you can make it out to the Houston-Dallas match on Saturday. Over the holiday weekend, it'll be a good game. Hopefully the weather won't be too hot, hard to say at this moment. And speaking of that, Houston Dynamo do have an interesting commercial out promoting the Houston-Dallas match, and I'll go ahead and embed that on my website too.
Bucita.